You know, one of the greatest things that has happened this year is that school got out just a few weeks ago. That's one of the best things that's happened all year long. That here we are and it is summertime. And already this year we've had our promotion Sunday. We had that 2 weeks ago where we promoted our kids in their Bible classes to their next grade level, to their next class. And spending a lot of time focusing in our kids. We had our graduation, our graduates luncheon that same day to promote our high school graduates and to really kick them or send them off on their way as they head out into a new ventures in their life. And so tonight we start our Vacation Bible School. And what a great theme, the rise and shine for Jesus is the theme of that. And then later this month we're going to have our leadership training camp for our young men and young ladies. We've got our Central Florida Bible Camp coming up next month. And so this is the time of year, summertime seems to be that time of year that we really focus in on our kids, perhaps more so than other times. Doesn't mean we neglect them the rest of the year. Just seems like summertime is when we really focus in on our young people. And so this morning I want this lesson to be especially directed at them. And I want to talk to our young people especially. And if that doesn't mean if you're not young, you get to check out this morning. If you think that when I say this sermon is for the young people, you say, oh, that means it's not for me, you are wrong. And you'll figure that out as we go through this. But I want our young people to know that as I was putting this together, this lesson is for you. Our theme, rise and shine for Jesus for our Vacation Bible School. But you know what our theme is for you? You know what our desire is for each and every one of you? Our desire for you is that you would in your life rise up. We know that you're going to grow up. That's just going to happen. We can't stop that. We wish we could sometimes, but we can't stop that from happening. But we pray that as you grow up, that you'll rise up. That you'll be one who begins to take a stand for what you know to be right. And we're going to talk about that this morning. But we not only want you to rise up in your life, we want you to rise up and make a difference. Not just grow up and get older, not just grow up and go to school and get a job and do great things in that, but to do something in your life where you're going to make a difference, where you're going to change people's lives. And those two things would be great. Those two things would be great if you were to rise up. You would meet some of our dreams. If you were to rise up and make a difference, we would be proud of you. But there's two more words here that make those things on the screen insignificant without these two next words. We don't just want you to rise up and make a difference. We want you to rise up and make a difference for Jesus. You know, you're going to live this life and we don't know how long we're given. There's going to be all sorts of things that you have to be able to do in this life. And you can rise up and make a difference in a lot of different ways. And maybe you'll be the one to make some kind of invention to cure certain diseases. But if you rise up and make a difference and you don't do it for Jesus, it won't really make a difference what you do. So this morning I want to invite you to get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Acts. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at Acts chapter 3 primarily. We'll be looking over the passage that Max read from Acts chapter 26 as well. But there's a story in Acts chapter 23 that I know we know parts of it. I'm not sure that we know all of it in great detail. We're introduced to Paul's nephew in Acts chapter 23. I don't know if you knew that Paul's nephew is even mentioned in the Bible. We don't know how old he is, but he's called a young man in Acts chapter 23, and that's why this part, this section of Scripture is chosen this morning to talk to our young people about, here's a young man that rose up, and he made a difference, and he made a difference for Jesus. As you turn to Acts chapter 23, I want us to talk about the fact that Paul's nephew was somebody who truly did rise up. Look in Acts chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 12. Where it says, when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under oath. And here's what they said. They said they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. I don't know if you've ever fasted in order to do something. I don't know if you've ever said, I won't eat or drink until I do something. Think about this. They said, we're not going to eat or drink anything until we kill the Apostle Paul. What devious minds. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. And so they came to the chief priest and the elders, who should have known better. They came to the chief priest and the elders and they said, we have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, the Jewish Sanhedrin, suggest to the commander that Paul be brought down to you tomorrow as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him. But you know better than that. That's not what's happening. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near. Now look at the next verse. So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Here's a story about 40 individuals who are ready to kill the Apostle Paul. And what does one young man, what could one young man do? He's insignificant. He's just a young, he can't do anything. You got these 40 guys, they're gonna die of starvation until they kill the Apostle Paul. And they've got the chief priest and they got the elders, and they're gonna get the 70 members of the Jewish Sanhedrin on their side. You can't do anything against this kind of regime. What does he do? He rises up. He hears about what's being planned. He says, I can't stand for this. I've got to do something about it. What about you? What is there that you are able to do? What is there that you are able to do well? What is there that you know? What is there that you are good at? What is there what unique opportunities maybe are open to you that might not be open to many other people? Here's Paul's nephew who had a unique opportunity open to him. Perhaps there was nobody else who knew what his nephew knew. And there certainly was no one else ready to take a stand like his nephew was ready to take a stand. What can you do? Young people, we challenge you this morning to rise up. In the midst of the culture in which we are living, to rise up and to take a stand. To take a stand for what's right. Now, the first part of what Jesus told the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26 and verse 16, first part of what Jesus told Paul was just that. Rise up. Look in chapter 26, verse 16. Rise up and stand on your feet. This world is going to try to get you to be quiet. This world is going to try to get you to sit down. The world's going to try to get you to just go sit in your corner. Young people, we challenge you to rise up. To take a stand for what you know is right. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Apostle Paul said, watch, stand fast in the faith. Don't give up. World's going to try to get you to give up. And when you rise up, they're going to beat you down and try to get you to sit back down. Well, just rise up again to what you know is right. Paul's nephew knew what was right. He heard what was being planned and he knew that wasn't right. He knew what was right and he was ready to rise up against it. Will you do that? But we don't just challenge you to rise up today. We challenge you to rise up and to make a difference. Look at the difference that Paul's nephew made. Look in verse 17. Paul called one of the centurions. Verse 16, the nephew enters the barracks and he tells Paul the conspiracy, the plan. Verse 17, Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man. What are his credentials? Who is he? Where did he come from? What do we know about him? He's a young man. He's not really much, is he? Take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. So he took Paul's nephew, brought him to the commander. Can you imagine this young man being brought before the commander? And he says, Paul the prisoner called me. The centurion says, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this, who? Who is it that he's bringing? This young man. Who is it? I'm the commander. Why are you bringing this guy? Bring this young man before me. He has something to say to you. Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside and asked him privately, what is it that you have to tell me? And he said, Paul's nephew, the Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them. Think about the courage of this young man who says to the commander, do not yield to them. For more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have been bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let who? The young man depart, and commanded him, tell no one that he had revealed these things to me. Did Paul's nephew make a difference? Look at the next two verses. The commander called for two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely out of Jerusalem. Let's get him over to Caesarea by night. Let's bring him safely over to Felix, the governor. Paul's nephew did what? He rose up. He knew what the truth was. He knew what was being planned. He knew what was right and that he needed to take a stand for what was right. And he made a difference. Did he make a difference to Paul? Hello. He saved his life. He made a huge difference. By doing what? By doing some great thing that nobody else could do? No. By opening his mouth and telling what he knew to be true. He didn't do something hard. God doesn't call upon us to rise up and to make a difference and all of a sudden I've got to become some superhero Christian in order to do that. Anybody could have done what Paul's nephew did. Anybody can do what God calls upon us to do. What is there that you can do to positively influence somebody's life? What power, what abilities do you have where you could change and adapt and alter circumstances and situations favorably? What can you do? And as you go through your life, there's going to be all sorts of things that you can do to positively influence other people's lives. When Jesus called Paul in Acts chapter 26, called Saul of Tarsus to become Paul the apostle. When he calls him in Acts chapter 26, when Paul is recounting this, here's what Jesus says to him in verse 16. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jews and from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And I'm doing this so that, verse 18, so that you can open their eyes. I'm sending you to these people so that you can make a difference, so that you can help them to see where they are and to see where they need to be. Young people, you can make a difference. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 20 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all people, especially those of the household of faith. What opportunities do we have? What can we do to have a positive impact on the lives of others? What can we do to make a difference in the life of somebody who needs us to make a difference in their life? What can we do to turn somebody's bad day into a good day? You've got the ability to do that. Every single one of you have within your storehouse of capabilities that God has given to you the ability to make that difference. Will you meet that challenge today? Will you decide in your heart today, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do something for somebody that maybe I've never done before. Maybe there's somebody in this church who needs you to pay positive attention to them. It might be somebody older than you. Most of the people in this church are a lot older than you. It might be somebody in this church that's older than you. Might be some kids who are younger than you. who are looking up to you, that just one small bit of attention that you pay to them could make a huge difference. What can we do? I challenge you to rise up and to make a difference. But don't just rise up and make a difference. Rise up and make a difference for Jesus. Do you think Paul's nephew understood the fullness of the ramifications of what he was doing? I don't know that he did. And yet he rose up and he did what was right. What did Jesus say to Paul right before this whole encounter? In verse 11 of Acts chapter 23, before this conspiracy, before Paul's nephew comes on the scene, he says to Paul in Acts 23 and verse 11, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome." Paul's nephew, perhaps unbeknownst to him, Paul's nephew was helping him to rise up and make a difference for Jesus in another place. When you help other people, look to see how can this make a difference for the cause of Christ. What's our purpose here? Is our purpose here to go to school? Is that why God created you to go to school? Thank the Lord, that's not why God created you. Hooray, we don't have to go to school. No, that's not what the preacher said. But that's not why God created you. God didn't create you to go to school. God didn't create you to play baseball. Wow, that would have been fun. God didn't create you to play the clarinet. Why did God create you? For what purpose? To rise up and to make a difference for Jesus. That's why God made you. That's the very purpose. That's the very reason that He put you on this earth. What can you do to fulfill that purpose? What can you do to make that come true? You can help other people come to know Jesus. You can help other people you know to follow Jesus. You can help other people you know to want to serve Jesus. And every last one of us can do that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they," those men, "may see your good works and glorify," not you, "glorify your Father who is in heaven." By somebody seeing you living differently, what Josh talked about in class this morning, that here we are, we're not supposed to blend into the world around us, we're supposed to stand out. We're supposed to be different. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about. Jesus, or God says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, to us as Christians, "You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy set apart nation. You are God's own special people, created in order that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So He tells us in verse 11, "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." I need to be different from the world. I need to abstain from what everybody else is doing that's of a fleshly nature. Well, why would I do that? Verse 12 says, so that your conduct can be honorable in the sight of God. But the end of the verse says, not just honorable in the sight of God, so that you might have conduct honorable before the Gentiles, so that when they see your good works, although they might want to speak evil of you, when they see your good works, they might glorify the Father too. That's why God selected Paul back in Acts chapter 26, to open their eyes, to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God, from darkness to light, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins, and he says, an inheritance that comes from serving the Lord. Young people, will you accept the challenge today? Make up your mind. I want to rise up, and I want to make a difference. And I want to rise up and make a difference, and I want to do that for Jesus. Would you take that challenge and say, I'm not going to wait until I get older to do this. I'm going to rise up and make a difference for Jesus this day. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until you get old and crusty like some of the other people in this room. Don't wait until all of your hair falls out. Say, I'm going to rise up and make a difference for Jesus this day. What can you do before this day is over to rise up and make a difference for Jesus? Is there some random act of kindness that you could do? Is there some gentle way that you could serve somebody else? Something nice you could do for someone else? Someone you could just say thank you to somebody else? Somebody in this church that you could walk up to after church today and say, I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you, and mean it. Before you even leave this building today, you can make a difference in the life of somebody just by something that you might say to them. You want to rise up and make a difference for Jesus? Shock your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, the Bible says. What does that mean? You do it for the Lord. You're doing it because of Him. This day, don't wait. Don't say, oh, that's a good sermon. One of these days I'm going to do that. No, don't wait. This day, rise up and make a difference for Jesus. But not just this day. Young people, I challenge you to rise up and make a difference for Jesus on the day that you become a Christian. The most important decision you will ever make is not where you're going to go to college. The most important decision you will ever make is not what kind of car to buy. The most important decision you will ever make is to become a Christian. Everything else is second and third and a long way from that. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. When the day comes that you realize that you have sins that are separating you from God, when the day comes that you realize that you have done things that are separating you and they're standing as a barrier between you and your God, and you realize that you need more than anything else, you need the forgiveness of sins, that's the day that you're ready. That's the day that you're ready to become a Christian. That's the day that you're ready to be baptized. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when individuals asked, what are we supposed to do? Now that we know that there's sin separating us from God, what are we supposed to do? And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Some of you are way too young yet. Do you think about this being the day to do that? But some of you are getting closer to that day. The most important day of your life where you will make the most important decision you'll ever make. To say, I know that I've done wrong. And I know that if Jesus were to come back today, I'm not ready. And I know that Jesus wouldn't be happy with me if He came back. And I know Jesus wouldn't take me to heaven today. And today I need to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins so that I can be right with God. And when that day comes, will you rise up and make a difference for Jesus? Will you give your life to Him? Will you allow Him to wash away your sins? Will you allow Him to come in and make residence in your heart and make a difference in your life? Some of you who are older and maybe don't have the youth in your life like you used to have, some of you need to make that decision this day. Sometimes individuals go years and years and they know they need to be baptized, but for some reason they just put it off. Sometimes they go so far and say, well, I should have done it before, and I just missed my opportunity and I didn't do it, and so they just keep going and they're not baptized. Make it this day. Don't worry about when you should have done it. That's in the past. What about this day? That this is the day that you're baptized. At the end of this sermon, we're going to do what we do at the end of every sermon here. We're going to offer a song of encouragement. We're going to sing a song of invitation and offer you an opportunity to come even during this assembly. If you desire to be baptized this day, there's water here, there's garments here, there's towels here. We can baptize you into Christ this day if you're ready to have the forgiveness of sins. It might be that somebody says, well, what if I don't do it during the invitation song? Well, wait until after services. If you want to wait until everybody's gone from the building. But don't let this day pass if you need to be baptized today. Young people, sometimes we talk about you and we talk about you being the church of tomorrow. And God forgive me if I've ever said those words. Because I don't believe that you are only the church of tomorrow. I believe with all of my heart that you're the church of today. And I encourage you to rise up and to make a difference for Jesus in the church now. Don't wait. So, well, I got to wait until I'm... You don't have to wait until you're older. You can make a difference in the church today. You can make a difference in the church right now. Get involved. If your parents aren't bringing you to Bible class on Sunday mornings, ask them. If they're not bringing you to Bible class on Wednesday nights, ask them. And if they don't start bringing you, ask them again and ask them again and ask them again. You know how to get your parents to do what you want to do. You know how to get them to do what you want to do. You know, you just keep asking them and asking, and they'll give in. Ask your parents to bring you to Bible class. Mom and Dad, there's I saw youth activity in the bulletin. I want to go to that. Get involved. Be an encourager. You can do that. You don't have to get older to be an encourager. You can be an encourager right now. You don't have to be too old to be kind and to speak kindly and to write kind notes and to do kind deeds. You can do that at any age. Rise up and do that now. Be evangelistic and be that right now. You don't have to wait. You know, some of the most evangelistic people in the Lord's church are the young people in the Lord's church. They're not afraid to ask their friends to come to church. They're not afraid to ask their friends to come to some youth group activity. They want them. They want their friends to be where they are. Be evangelistic. Do something now. Don't wait until you get older. If you wait until you get older, you might not do it when you get older. But if you start setting some patterns now, if you start making some habits now, guess what? They'll stick. Rise up and make a difference in the church now. And then finally, make up your minds. I'm going to rise up and make a difference in the church in the future. I'm going to do anything and everything that I can as a young person now. But I would challenge you to look to your future. To say, what can I do in the church when I get older? Young men, I challenge you to look to your future and say, I want to become a preacher. Look to the future. Say, what can I do with my life? What can I become in my life? I guarantee you there is not a single thing you can do with your life, young men, that will be more rewarding than being a preacher of the gospel. Set your sights on that. So that's what I want to do. That's what I want to become, is to become a preacher. But if you look at this and say, well, you know, if I don't do that, is there something else I can do? The greatest men in this church are those men who have served and are serving as elders in this church. I love our elders. Some of the most godly men I know on the face of this earth. If you don't become a preacher, then you set your hearts on 1 Timothy chapter 3 and say, that's the kind of man I want to become. I want to become an elder. or I want to become a deacon in the church. Look to the future in your life and say, I don't want to just grow up and become an astronaut and go to the moon. Great. You grow up and become an astronaut, you go to the moon. Now what? Rise up and make a difference for Jesus. What can you do with the rest of your life for Jesus? But young men and young ladies, determine that in the future, not right now and for the rest of your life, that I'm going to be an active member, not just a member. I'm not just going to go to church. There's a difference between going to church and being an active member of the Lord's church. Say, that's what I want to be. I want to be actively involved in the church. I want to be somebody, and we talked about this as something you can do now, but set your sights on this as something that you do for the rest of your life, that I want to be evangelistic. I want to see souls wherever I go, and I want to make a difference in their life for Jesus. I don't want them to just see me. I want them to see Christ living in me, and Lord, help me for the rest of my life to be active in the Lord's church by being evangelistic, by helping other people to come to know and to follow and to serve Jesus. Be an educator. Determine right now, I'm going to be a Bible class teacher. I'm going to study my Bible, and I'm going to teach others one-on-one or small group, or I'm going to teach a Bible class in the church. I'm not going to let other people do that. I want to do that. And then again, be an edifier. Make up your mind that you're not going to be a complainite in the church. Say, be one of those people say, well, nobody ever talks to me. Nobody ever greets me. Nobody ever writes me cards. Nobody ever... Don't be one of those people that says, nobody ever does this for me. Be one of the people that just does it for other people. Be one of those people that goes out of your way to build others up. Be one of those people that is a visitation specialist. There are some visitation specialists in this church. They don't wear a badge that says that. But you can count on them. That they're the folks who are going out and making visits. They're the folks who are inviting people into their homes. They are the individuals that are some of the most hospitable people in this church. But you would never know it because they don't sound an alarm whenever they do that. Be somebody who builds other people up. And if you will do this, you will truly be able to rise up and to make a difference for Jesus. Young people, you have no idea how special you are to us. We say those words and they still feel empty because the heart behind it can't fully be seen. We love you. And we want the very best for you in this life. Of course, we want you to grow up and become rich and famous so you can support the rest of us by being rich and famous. And when you do that, don't forget the little people who helped you to get there. But forget that. We want you to go to heaven. And we want that more than anything else in the world. And so we encourage you today. Rise up and make a difference for Jesus. Ushers, if you can start passing out those cards that we gave you in the back. To the rest of the church, may we encourage you to start praying every day for our young people. You want to make a difference in their lives? Give them a $100 bill. That'd be great. You want to make an eternal difference in their life? Pray to them. Talk to God for them. The ushers are passing out a yellow card. And on this yellow card, and I didn't count them, there's 18, 19, 20, I don't know how many boxes are on here. If you were to spend time praying for the young people of this church, what could you pray for them? Pray for them to become a Christian if they're not already. Pray for them to remain a faithful Christian for the rest of their life. Pray for them to marry a faithful Christian, to choose good, godly friends, to put the church first in their life, to not be conformed to this world. Pray for them to set a righteous example for others to follow. Pray for them to remain an active member in the church wherever they go. Pray for them to become effective leaders in the church, to be evangelistic in what they do, to not be ashamed of Christ or the gospel of the church or being a Christian. Pray for them to become a preacher, an elder, a deacon, or the wife of one of those men. to build meaningful relationships with individuals in the Lord's church, to not be influenced by cultural trends. Pray for them to boldly and faithfully stand for truth. Pray for them to live for Jesus and to let others see Christ living in them. You want to make a difference in the lives of young people in this church? Would you spend time praying for them? I know the list on the back is not complete and I almost didn't provide it. But I tried in every way to come up with the names of the kids who are in this church. And I'm sorry to the ones that I don't have on this list. And if I forgot your name, come up and write your name on my list and I'll be praying for you. Pray for them by name. Pray for what they might do the rest of their life on one side of this card, and pray for them by name on the other side of this card. Somebody says, I don't understand what that means on the bottom of the card. What's that little box on the bottom of the card? When you leave today, there are going to be two posters out in the lobby. And on these posters is a place for every member of this church to sign up to pray for 24 hours for our young people. It's been a number of years since this church has had a period of 24-hour prayer. But we want to have one. We want to start tonight at 7 p.m. There's some of you who I know cannot be here at 7 p.m. who just are not physically able to be here at 7 p.m. tonight. You won't be able to be at Vacation Bible School, and we're sorry that you cannot be, but here's something you could do. You could sign up for the 7 to 7:15 slot that I'll pray for our young people for those 15 minutes. And there are 15-minute slots starting at 7 o'clock tonight and going until 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Young people, we mean it when we say it. You are important to us. And whether or not your name is on this card, that's not the important part. This church is going to be praying for you for an entire 24-hour period from 7 o'clock tonight until 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And so as you leave this morning, there's going to be a board like this on one side of the lobby. And Eugene, there's another board like this in my office, if you wouldn't mind going and getting that out and putting it on the other side of the lobby. Here's markers for you to leave this morning. We want to make sure every time slot is filled. And so if you'll come by these boards and just find the slot where you can pray for 15 minutes and write your name there. This board is identical to the other board. We'll likely have two people praying in every 15-minute slot. If you get to the board and every slot is filled in, we'll find another place to write your name. Find one of those hard places. Probably not everybody is going to jump at the 3 a.m. slot. If you want to take the, if you're willing to get up at 3 a.m. and pray, then mark your name for that 3 a.m. slot, for that 4 a.m. slot. Is there any better reason to set your alarm and to get up in the middle of the night than to pray? And to pray for the young people of this church? Young people, that's how important you are. That some of these old folks are going to set their alarm for 2:15 a.m. so that they can get up and pray for you. Thank God for the young people of this church. Thank God for the power of prayer. Prayer is not just some meaningful or meaningless activity. It is very meaningful. And we know it's very powerful. Simon, would you come and take this one and take this out to the lobby? That way it's out there with the other one. Brother and sister in Christ, let's fill in these slots. Don't walk by it and say, well, somebody else will do that. You be the somebody else who fills in that slot. Now, let me say this. Don't just pray for 24 hours for them. This card works every day. This card works every week of every month of every year. Every young person that we come in contact with needs our prayers, and may God help all of us to participate in lifting them up before the Lord. Somebody says, fine and dandy. I went to church today and the preacher just talked to the kids. He didn't have anything to say to me. If you think that today, you haven't been paying attention. May God help all of us to rise up and make a difference for Jesus. If you think this was just a sermon for the kids, do I need to rise up and make a difference? Do all of us need to rise up and make a difference for Jesus this day? That's not just the kids who need to do it. It's all of us who need to do it. We all need to make up our minds, if we have not yet, to become a Christian. And if you haven't done that, we urge you to do that today. We encourage every member of the Lord's church to rise up and make a difference in the church now. Be involved. We encourage every member of the Lord's church to rise up and be involved in the church now and in the future. Be evangelistic in all that we do. Be an edifier in all that we do. That's not just something that we talk to the kids about this morning. Obviously, there's application for every single one of us. Kids of all ages need to rise up and make a difference. Where are you today? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus today? Do you know my Jesus? Have you heard He loves you? Jesus loves you so much that He left the perfect realm of heaven to come and live on this putrid earth, to be tempted in all points like as we are, to deal with pain and suffering and loss just as we do, to deal with the trials of life just as we do. Why? Because He loves us. He wants us to be saved. And He wants us to go to heaven. Are you a Christian today? Have you followed what the New Testament teaches us? Teaches us to do in order to become a child of God. The Bible says we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. That He truly did come and live on this earth. That He died. That He was buried. That He was raised again the third day. And He ascended into heaven. He's right there at the right hand of God. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you know and believe that He's done that for you, then that kind of faith will spark an inward desire to make a change. The Bible says to repent. That just means to turn away from sin and to turn our lives towards God. And with our mouths be willing to confess the faith that is in our heart. And to do exactly what the New Testament teaches. To be baptized. To be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, in order that we might become a child of God, be added to His family, and to be registered there in heaven. If you've never done that, would you do it this day? And make up your mind this day for the rest of your life, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve Him faithfully, so that on that day I'll receive not what I deserve, but on that day I'll receive a great gift of eternal life. If this church can help you to come to truly know who Jesus is and to enter into a proper relationship with Him by either being baptized into Christ this morning or asking for prayers of forgiveness this day, please come right now as together we stand and sing.